Everyone say amen. Thanks, PB. Aren't you glad to be a church, part of a church that'll stop the presses to pray for somebody? You know, this is what family's about. This is what spiritual family's about. It's not about the program. Totally ditched 2 points last service because it was going to go too long. Because, you know, we're not here to finish today, right? We're going long and we're growing strong together. Amen. So anyway, praise God. And we'll, I told Pastor Brian Haley, PBH, to bring me an update if he gets something. He did come through the surgery. We did get that word, but we don't know outcomes yet. But hey, come on, let's go ahead and give God glory and give him thanks in advance for the work he's going to do. So praise God. All right, we may have noticed we didn't actually finish Colossians. Well, we kind of did. So we finished the series in Colossians, but as I was praying about this week and what was on my heart to bring, I really sensed the Lord was like, I need you to put an exclamation point on the book of Colossians. And so we're going to go to Matthew, but it's still rooted. So I want you to know that. And maybe I just like that video so much I'm not ready to move on. I don't know. I do like that. It fires me up, makes me want to go. When I was in football, I wouldn't say that normally, but when I was in football, it made me want to go hit somebody. So on the field, of course. So not like in real life. So anyway, man, I'm so thankful for what we get to do here, and we are going to take a minute and pray in just a moment. I've got some good things to bring. I want to bring a briefing before we stand up to pray, so I want you to keep your shoes off for a second, but I do want to just share this briefing. I appreciate Adam Curry. He's my partner in crime. We do a podcast together called We Get to Do This. We've now done 30 episodes, and we're moving fast and forward on that, and our listening audience is growing, so God's using that, and what's the beauty of that is God's using that kind of platform to bring people to Christ, and particularly to reach the nuns. Do you know who the nuns are? It's not like the flying nun. Remember that back in the day with that things on? No. I'm talking about N-O-N-E-S, nuns. Those who, if they were applying for a job, they would check on religious affiliation. They'd check none, that box. These are people that knew Christ maybe at one point in their life, but they're now coming back to Christ. So those are the nuns we're talking about, and we're getting a lot of feedback on that. So I want to just Adam writes this weekly briefing based on what we do in our show, but also what he does in his show, No Agenda. So I want you to listen deeply here, because one of our key pillars in our church, we call them big rocks that we like to move, is cultural engagement, to stay engaged. And then I have another thing to share right after that, some really good news for some local things that have happened this weekend. So here's the weekly briefing. The Iran war is no longer a war. President Trump declared hostilities terminated yesterday. The 47-year arc that began in 1979 is coming to a close. Expect a few bumps ahead, but we should see gas prices significantly drop just in time for the midterm elections, right? Of course, there's no strategy there. But yeah, okay, that's coming. So maybe my $68 gas tank in my little car won't be that by then. So we'll see. This week, the King and Queen of England visited Washington, and members of Congress rose to their feet and hooted and hollered for the British monarch. The very same members of Congress who endorsed or attended the No Kings protest just a month ago. Right? The same kind of protest where Cole Allen, the man who opened fire at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, wore a wide awake patch. So it is no coincidence that Representative Anna Paulina Luna has announced a May 13th congressional hearing on MK Ultra. You may have heard of this. It was considered a conspiracy theory that has now come true. A decades-old CIA mind control program that combined powerful psychedelics with messaging to turn otherwise normal citizens into assassins. I know you thought you saw that in a movie, but sometimes art reflects life. This isn't a conspiracy theory. It is a self-admitted fact and documented. And it's important because it sheds light on how this combination may still operate today right in front of our eyes. For decades, parents and educators have been telling us that something is very wrong with how we medicate our children. Add social media messaging and AI chatbots to the equation, you have a potentially deadly combination the mainstream news cannot report on because Big Pharma is their largest advertiser. The truth is finally getting a hearing. Pray for truth. Pray for our children and for those held captive by pharmaceuticals. On a local note, Randy Briley is now the new mayor-elect of Fredericksburg, Texas. Go, Randy and Charlotte, your way better half. I'm telling you, you know what I love about their testimony is that because you've heard me stand in this pulpit many times and talk about cultural engagement, that we need to get in, you know, in the public square. We got to get our voice in there. And that's something that landed with them, and they begin to pray together. And then God, one morning, sitting here right before the service started, really just spoke to them both and said, okay, do this. And so they pulled the trigger. And family, I want to say thank you to our church family for showing up at the polls. We exercised our constitutional right, and look what happened. And don't ever think your vote doesn't count. This is our voice in our country. And he won by 55 votes. And that's how important it is that we get out. Your vote matters. So thank you for showing up. But guys, we got lots of work to do, don't we? We got lots of work. So continue to pray for Randy and Charlotte. And then also we got some new city council members as well. But we want to pray for them as they continue to lead our city and lead our area and region. So we want to just be a blessing to them. So give Randy one more time a big round of applause. Mayor Randy Briley, thank you. All right, let's all stand to our feet. We're going to pray. We'll start with Israel. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem. Your word doesn't just encourage us, it mandates that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We don't distinguish between old and new Israel. We don't distinguish between political lines that have been drawn or cultural norms at this time, the narratives that are out there. We simply obey your word by praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, would you bring your shalom to that city and the nation of Israel? And Father, may the Iron Dome of your supernatural strength cover not just the Iron Dome in the natural. So we pray for that whole region. We pray for continued breakthroughs in the strategies and the deals that are being made. And we pray for favor, and open doors. And Father, we also pray for America. We pray for the pillars of faith, family, and freedom. We pray for our president and his cabinet. We pray, Father, that truth, righteousness, and godly justice will continue to prevail in our nation. Father, we pray for the church around America for revival and spiritual awakening, and we pray for the churches in our community for the same, revival and spiritual awakening. And Father, we pray the Lord's model prayer where Jesus said it this way, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And God's people said, amen. Amen. High five somebody as you're being seated. One more thing before we dive in to our message today, which is called Rooted Deep and Living Strong. I had such a great day yesterday, and this is what I love about our church family. So Annette Vollen invited me to come to the ladies' meeting yesterday. No, actually, I wanted to go because our friend Tina Curry was going to be giving her testimony, really for the first time since she's become a follower of Jesus, and it was amazing and beautiful. And I got to tell you, we had 105 ladies show up for that meeting yesterday. Can we bless our ladies? I'm telling you guys, I was blessed beyond my mind. I had such a sweet time. So, I came around the corner and I could just hear this wall of sound coming out of the Life Centers. I headed towards the back area and I just was like, oh my gosh, what am I about to walk into? I walk in there, 105 ladies, and I walked into a wall of love. I mean, just amazing people in our church, amazing friends and family. And I just got to tell you, I'm so proud of y'all. I'm so proud to be your pastor, but also to be a member of this church. I'm not just the pastor. I'm also a member of this family, a member of this body. And so I want to thank you for blessing us. And Annette and the ladies team that puts all, they are so good at what they do. I mean, they run like, they finished on time, started on time, unlike me and Pastor Brian. But they nailed it. I was like amazed. And I got to tell you, I got to eat some good food. So brothers, man, if you ever just like really, just go with your wife to one of these meetings. I'm telling you, You will be blessed. So it was such a good time, though. The Holy Spirit and the worship was so amazing. Everything about it, I'm bragging a lot, but I'm telling you, I'm just proud of our people. I'm proud of who we are. Amen? You should be, too, in the best way. Amen? So as we get started, we've been doing this series called Rooted. We got through the book of Colossians, and literally the Lord's like, put an exclamation point on that. So we're going to do a two-parter starting today. And so here's what I want to start with. You've heard of Jesus talking about parables. All parables are, they're stories with a point. We talk about fables, when we grew up, all the different things we learned, and there was a bunch of them. But yet, Jesus told these stories, and he was a storyteller. One of the greatest teaching tools there is the power of story. And so Jesus told these stories called parables. So when you see parable in the Bible, don't let that throw you off. Just translate it into story. That's all it is. He's telling a story with a point. There's a lesson to be learned. So he's telling a series of stories, and it all throughout all four of the Gospels. And he tells the story about four kinds of soils. And that's like, wow, that doesn't really relate to me. Well, actually, what he's talking about are four kinds of personalities. Another way to say it are four kinds of heart conditions, four different hearts. And he groups the entire human race of the planet into four categories. And we're going to look at two of those today, and we'll look at the next two next week. But here's what I want you to know. He tells a story about a farmer sowing seed. But here's the thing. It's not about the seed. The whole story, we'll see what that means, and Jesus will even tell us what the seed is. The seed is the word of God, the message of the kingdom, the message of the gospel, the good news. That's the seed, and it gets sown into all these different kinds of hearts and all these different kinds of soils, but the issue isn't the seed. The issue is the soil. The issue is the kind of soil it is landing on. Another way to say it is, same seed, but four different results, four very different results. And you're going to see these in just a minute as we go through it. Years ago, let me give you the big question first. What kind of soil am I? That's what I want you to ask yourself today. Out of these, we're going to get two today, two next week. What kind of soil am I today? And if any of this resonates with you as we're going through it, that may be a cue to you by the Holy Spirit saying to you, you know what, maybe it's time to change the condition of the soil, which literally saying change the condition of our heart. So what kind of soil am I? So let's just start with the first one. Number one is this. It's the hardened heart. The hardened heart. And that means that it's literally closed to the word of God, closed to the message. Another way to say that is impermeable. It's a heart that can't be penetrated. So let's read it out of the scripture, Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to be using the NIV version today, the parable of the sower. Listen to what Jesus says. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds. Someone say large crowds. So you get the picture. A bunch of people are showing up. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Jesus being smart, he created the world, right, with his dad. He created this thing. He kind of knows how physics works. He says, I can fix this. I don't live in 2026, so I can have a massive sound system, but I can create an amphitheater right here using water, a boat, and a hillside. So he creates an outdoor arena, an outdoor venue. We know about venues around here. He creates an amphitheater by simply pushing out just a little bit, speaking from the water, wind blowing in from the shore, blowing into the hill, carrying his voice, and now he can speak to hundreds, if not thousands, of people. I would say that's pretty smart. He says this, then he told them many things in stories, parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. So just get your picture, use your sanctified imagination. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Now, if you know anything about a trail, hiking trail or a path, I grew up on a farm out in Lubbock, Texas, and then Post later. We had 17 acres out there. We had a little pond out there. We had stock tank. We had horses, cows, you can imagine. And those horses and those cows would come in every day, and they would go up and down this path, up and down this path, and to the point where it was as hard as pavement. And so whenever you'd walk out and walk out to the pasture, you would walk along that trail, and it would be literally like you're walking on this concrete right here. So picture seed being tossed down on a hardened path or this concrete right here. And this is what Jesus is describing. That's not the best soil for planting a crop. Would you agree? And so look what happens here in verse 19. So it says this, as he's scattering the seed, that's verse 4, some fell along the path and the birds came in. The disciples, after he shares about the four different soils, they start asking questions just like you would do, just like I would do. So wait, I don't understand that. This is confusing. Four types? I can't keep up. So Jesus later will come back and explain the four soils or the four hearts, the four conditions of the heart. And he does that starting in verse 19, Matthew 13, 19. Jesus explains the parable. He says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom, there it is, the gospel, and does not understand it, the evil one, someone say the evil one. Now Jesus is defining and identifying the problem here. So it says the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So he's saying someone is coming and literally snatching up, getting the seed. In other translations in other gospels, it'll talk about the birds of the air. Literally come along and they eat the seed. They get rid of it. Now look what happens. And I want to identify this because Jesus himself actually identifies who it is that steals the seed. Matthew 13, 19, he says the evil one. In Mark chapter 4, which is a parallel gospel, he identifies the evil one as Satan. He says, Satan comes and takes away the word. In Luke, another similar parallel gospel defines it as the devil. So you've got the evil one, Satan, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. What this tells us, because even though these are stories, he uses stories as metaphors for the truth. And what he's saying here is that there's a very real enemy who is just waiting for the word to drop on you, for the seed of God's word, the message of the kingdom to drop on you. And as soon as it does, if your heart is not in the right place and you don't have the right soil, then it will stay on the path and the enemy will come in and devour that seed and take it up. Man, we see this in people all the time. Have you ever known someone who came to a gospel meeting, came to church, went to a conference, whatever, to a youth meeting, or they went to youth camp, they went to a retreat, and they came back, and man, they're just so lit up. It's like, man, they're all in. This is amazing. And then within a very short of time, they disappear. I mean, you think, man, I think Jesus just showed up, the rapture happened, and I got left behind because they're gone. They were here, but what happened? They were impermeable because their heart wasn't in the right place. Listen to this. He said a couple of key notes. A distracted heart can't receive a directed word. As I studied and dove into this material and read other theologians and other scholars, what they were saying about this, they talked about, yes, it is indeed the enemy, but one of the greatest tools that the enemy uses against you is distraction. Let me ask you a question. Am I the only human in the room that gets easily distracted? You know, it's always interesting. We talk about adult attention deficit disorder, right? Listen, I think we all have it. I think we have been groomed by the enemy to have it. We've been groomed through social media where it's just a blip here and a blip there. We've been trained by social media and entertainment to not be able to handle even reading a whole book. Anybody have a harder time reading a book now than they used to? For real. I mean, literally, it is hard for me to plow through a book because it's just taking so darn long. When I could go to Twitter or X now and just read some slashes, a.k.a. tweets, and just, man, get everything I need. Or I can just go into memeology and just read a bunch of memes, and, man, that's all the truth I need. I can take it in bite-sized chunks. We have lost our ability to stay long with something. Our attention is getting shrunken because we're being groomed and trained that way. Why? Because the last thing the enemy wants any of us to do, A, is be critical thinkers, and B, think for ourselves, and C, be able to stay with something for a long time. So distraction comes. Man, I don't know about you, but when I'm studying, when You know, I'm on my computer. I've got my logos up. I'm all in. I'm reading scripture. I'm breaking down Greek words. I'm diving into Hebrew, a little Latin here, some Aramaic. And as I'm doing that, notifications are popping up right after another. To the point where I even got rid of my Apple Watch because I got tired of getting zapped, you know, like a Pavlov's dog. And then in a conversation, I'd find myself looking to see what popped up on my watch. I just got rid of it. I don't even wear one anymore. Amen. I went back to old-fashioned analog, you know, and nothing digital, because it was distracting me from paying attention to the person that I was with. Sometimes Annette and I, we catch each other all the time. She'll be like, who's that? While we're watching a TV show, right? This happened last night. And I hadn't picked up my phone in an hour and a half, but she caught me the second I picked it up. I said, I'm just a notification cabinet. She had just put hers down. She forgot. And we do this back and forth all the time because this stuff is crowded in and has become a distraction. Amen. Listen, I'm not anti-social media. I'm not anti-technology. I better not be. I got 15 of these things lying around. I'm not. But I am anti-distraction in the fact that we've got to get better. We've got to get focused. The enemy uses it. So a distracted heart can't receive a directed word. Squirrel, fly, gnat, bird, plane. I mean, all over the map. Here's another one. Noise crowds out truth. Have you even heard the term noise pollution? You know, it's so funny. When I talk to people and I share that I had struggled with tinnitus, say it right, but we all say tinnitus. So I struggle with tinnitus. And I'm telling you, the moment I say that, every feed on my social media will have tinnitus, you know, stuff popping up all day long now since I just said that out loud. But I have struggled with that. And it's because of noise pollution. My ears have been blown out probably from doing that all my life, being in bands and stuff. And my ears are blown out, and the brain begins to try to compensate for the lowered volume, for the inability to hear, and it works itself into a frequency. And noise pollution, when I share about tinnitus, it's amazing how many people in this church will walk right up to me and go, I got the same thing. It's a little on this side, a little on that side. It's in the middle. I got it in both ears. I mean, almost everybody has had some bout with this. Why? Because noise pollution is normal now. We never turn anything off. Now, unless Annette tells me to, I've got the Godcaster going on in my house 24/7. I got music going all the time. Either that or Brandon Lake, right? I mean, that's hers. That's her crush. She's like, Alexa, hope I don't set off anybody's phone. Alexa, play Shuffle Songs by Brandon Lake. And man, we're off to the races, you know, listen to all things Brandon. But we listen to music all the time. The noise pollution. Listen to this. Noise crowds out truth. It's hard for those things to occupy the same place sometimes, the same space. So we've got to get better at saying, Lord, help me. Help me call out the distractions. Help me simplify. Help me eliminate so that I can concentrate on what's right in front of me. Here's another key point. We live in a world that serves up distractions like Baskin-Robbins serves up ice cream. It tastes good, it's sweet, and too much of it will kill you. You know, but I talked about 3 weeks ago in one of the messages in the Rooted series, and one of the points was, and this sticks out to me because I've been trying to practice this, and the point was real, real deep and long, so I hope you can remember it. The point was, kill it. Can you just say that with me? Kill it. And the reason I use that as a point, because first of all, we have to kill what's trying to kill us. This was when Paul was saying, man, you got to take down sin. You got to take down the thing that's taking you out, and we got to kill it. We got to kill what's killing us. And that has been coming back to me. Too much distraction will kill you, which means we've got to eliminate what continues to intrude upon our attention. Why? Because there's a very smart enemy who gathers the seed off the path, takes it up and takes it away. We need to get rid of the distractions. Listen to this. What isn't received gets removed. So the seed that hits the path, the problem was it didn't go down into the soil, so it was not protected. Therefore, the birds of the air, the Satan, evil, the demonic forces that are against us and aligned against us, literally go down and scoop it off because it's accessible. It's not covered. In other words, the seed did not get received into the heart. I remember when we were in Abilene, Texas, and I pastored a multicultural church for 10 years. And I got to tell you, I got used to people talking back to me. I had a good day if somebody stood up on the front row over here, one of my church mamas, and said, "Pastor, you better stay on that." I'd say, "Yes, ma'am." I keep preaching. "Pastor, you better preach." "Yes, ma'am." I keep preaching. I got so spoiled that they ruined me for preaching in white churches. I'm just telling you. It took me a while to get used to this, man. We moved here. I'm like, man, nobody's talking back. Do they hate me? What's the deal, man? Nobody's sassing me. And thank you, brother. Come on. Stay on that. Where was I with that? Oh, there it is. Sorry, I just got all caught up. What isn't received gets removed. We have to take it into us. Don Finto, who actually runs Caleb Global, you know, we had Todd here with us, and we'll have him back this summer for a conference. But Don Finto's the daddy. He's in his 90s, amazing man of God. And I remember being in a meeting with him, and he said, you know, when the word comes your way, if you're sitting out in a congregation or wherever you are, and there's a word, and maybe that word's directed for somebody else, you should take it for yourself. And he said, you know how you do that? And he said, just reach out your hand and say, I'll take that. Let's do that together. If all of us do it, nobody looks stupid. If five of us do, five people look stupid, okay? So let's do it all together. I'll count to three. On three, I'll take that. Now let's try it one more time. On three. One, two, three, I'll take that. So while I was out in the hallway in the meetup between services, people were walking by going, I'm like, they'll be walking through HEB. I'll take that. No, what it is, you're actually opening your heart to say, I will receive that. I will take that. That's the gospel. That's the word of the Lord. I'm going to take that. I'll take that. And when you do that demonstrative thing, it's really activating your faith. You're just activating. You're like, no, I'll take that. There are a lot of times when Pastor Brian's up here preaching or Naomi's up here bringing a word for communion and whatever, I'm going, that. Now, you know, nobody sees me. I just do it autopilot now because I want to be the kind of soil that's not impermeable, the kind of soil where the word can get in, where it can penetrate, because when it penetrates, the enemy can't come get it off the path. Amen? Here's another one. James 1:22, listen to this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. There's how you open your heart to reception, being willing to obey. Hebrews 3:7. So as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He's saying, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Why? Because the enemy will steal it, will take it away. A couple of things. Cynicism becomes a filter. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Simon Cowell in American Idol. I mean, you've ruined us all, right? So cynicism becomes this filter where we don't believe anything. We don't receive anything. Everything is questioned. Nothing is received. That really is the world we live in. Now, COVID did a number on all of us, did it not? I mean, we woke up during that and said, I do not trust the government anymore. We've been lied to. Oh, and now we're seeing, oh, we've been lied to back then and about that and, yeah, all the way back. So now we don't trust anybody, but here's what happens. We get to the point where our filter is so hardened that when truth comes, we won't receive it. Do you think there may be an enemy behind this? We're being trained like Pavlov's dogs. We're being groomed so that we will not receive truth because we're not willing to even take it. Someone say, I'll take it. We got to get to where we take truth. We identify and we receive the truth. Here's the big idea. You can hear the word without ever receiving the word. People can sit in churches for years, for decades, with a hardened heart. And it just bounces off. It just lays there, and the enemy comes in. I've had images in my mind of being in church and the word coming out and seed being scattered all over the place and then seeing blackbirds come in and just taking the seed away, just in my mind's eye of how dark it is. And here's the last thing on this point, key application. Where have I become too busy and distracted to truly receive the word? This is where you get honest and say, man, what am I allowing to distract from actually receiving the word of God? What have I allowed to harden my heart? Be wise, be discerning, but cynical to the point where you can't receive, that's dangerous. The second heart, we're only going to do two today, is the shallow heart. The shallow heart. We have the hardened heart, we have the shallow heart. And in the shallow heart, we're quick to respond, but we're also quick to retreat. So listen to this, Matthew 13:5. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered them because they had no what? Root. Remember, we talked about the whole idea of being rooted through four chapters of Colossians. Jesus picks this back up and explains the parable in verses 20 and 21. He says, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places. Notice the word received. Oh, wait, we're starting good here. It may be rocky soil, but there's reception happening. He says this, the one who received, say received. All right, we're starting good. The seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. So we're not talking about somebody who's so hard that the word doesn't get in. The problem is the rocky soil doesn't allow rooting to take place. So look what happens. Verse 21, but since he has no root, someone say no root. He has no root, he lasts only for a short time. When trouble, now look what happens, trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. You get the picture here? Shallow root, no fruit. Somebody sent me between services, Gary Cleansing sent me a picture of a tree growing out of a rocky crag because I described what it looks like. And can you imagine you're falling down a cliff? I mean, you're in trouble, you're in peril, and you see one shoot sticking out, one green sapling, and you grab hold of it and you just keep going because it didn't have enough root. It was growing in shallow soil. A couple of key notes. Rocky soil means this. You're emotional, but you're not rooted. You ever met Christians like that? Man, they go to a conference, they come back. Woohoo! Man, our youth come back from camp. They're all worshiping like it's the last plane out of Vietnam, man. They're just like all in. They're all in. And then a few weeks later, empty seats. A few weeks later, when the adrenaline wears off and the emotions wear off, and I'm not anti-emotional or I wouldn't be a musician. I love emotions. I love being in atmospheres that light my fire. But I also know that's not where life is lived permanently. Listen to this. Emotion responds fast, but roots grow slow. Do you know when you plant a seed, you know the first thing to grow? You'll never see it for a while above ground, but that doesn't mean it's not growing. What it's doing, it's growing down. It's growing roots into the soil so that when it finally does break the surface after germination, it breaks the surface, then it's already got a root system bigger than what's breaking the surface. The root system has to go down, and it has to go down deep. That excitement, that emotion, it's like, man, skip growing deep roots. I'm just ready to get to the good stuff. Man, I'm just ready to get to the fun stuff. Man, forget discipline. Forget discipleship. Man, I want to see the dead raised. Man, I want to see miracles. Man, I want to pray in a prayer language. I'm ready for the good stuff. And we miss building a root system that will get you through the hard days. Because there will be hard days. Jesus talked about a house built on sandy soil with no root system, no foundation. And then the winds came. It didn't say if they come. It said when they came. They blew hard against that house. It says great was its fall. Are you building a deep root system? Are you willing to do the right thing every day for a long period of time? Family, it is not glamorous. It's called, do you know the root word of discipleship is discipline? It's like an athlete training. We see them on Saturday at the game, and we're like, how do they do that? Oh, my gosh, they're amazing. It's because they spent the rest of the week working toward that, practicing that, executing that, failing at that. But we see them in their glory moment and think they're amazing. We see a band that comes out of nowhere. My gosh, where were they? They're so good that we don't realize they were gigging in bars for 20 years, cutting their chops, doing the discipline, the grind. But we want it now. There is no such thing as microwave Christianity. There's no such thing as microwave maturity. It doesn't happen that fast and that quick. And it doesn't come without tests. You will never have a testimony without a test. So, excitement isn't the same as transformation. We're looking for the long haul. We're playing the long game. Did you know at this church, when I came here, I remember coming here and Annette and I had made a commitment to the Lord that wherever you plant us, we're here for the long haul. We're here. We want to go long. We were 10 years in Abilene. We're like, man, we're not here to just show up and do something, go through our bag of little ministry tricks and then leave while it's going good. Do you know the average stay of a pastor is about 3 years? Average stay of a youth pastor is about 18 months. Why? Because they run out of their bag of tricks. And now they got to actually get in the grind with people. They got to cry with people. They got to weep with people. They got to see people fail and see people succeed and celebrate both. They got to walk with people. They got to get dirty. And like the name of the book I read at Howard Payne University, it was a book called They Smell Like Sheep, talking about pastors. If you're not willing to get your hands dirty and do life and go through the hard stuff, you're not going to last. Most pastors quit after 7 years in a church. There's a seven-year turn, the seven-year itch. I remember when we passed 7 years, I told Nate, I said, we're here for the long haul. We're in all the way. We're playing the long game, not the short game. When I walked in and saw those ladies back there, I didn't see that as work. It was loud, but I didn't see it as work. I just saw, man, the buzz in the room was incredible, and I walked into a wall of love, and I was like, these are my people. I see you have sat around and talked to people before the service. I mean, these are our people. We love what we get to do here. And that doesn't mean there aren't tests for us, too, because we all have them. Can I get an amen? Depth determines durability. Depth. You got to get your root system down. You're planted in shallow soil. You're emotional and hyped. Nothing scares me more with it when new people come up to me and go, this is the best church I've ever been to. They've been here 3 weeks. And I'm like, I don't say anything out loud inside. I'm going, just wait till the first puff of wind comes along. And I don't mean that cynically. It's just I've seen something in 40 years. There's patterns that emerge. And it seems like the people that are the most excited and animated to be here are the ones that are the first to leave sometimes. Because they came here thinking, this is amazing, but what y'all don't know is the number of years it took to even get here where we are as a church. We didn't always have this stuff. The toys, the accoutrements. We started in the family room next door, and it was only half full. I mean, it's what you see is not what's always been here, but it's taken time, and it's taken a lot of people sacrificing their time, their talents, their treasure, everything they have over years for it to get here. Steve Merle pastors started and planted one of the largest churches in the world. They literally have over 100,000 people in worship every weekend. It's in Manila in the Philippines. I forget how many campuses they're at, 138 or so. And he didn't set out to be a mega church pastor. He is like the chillest guy you'll ever meet. When he walks into his own church, most people don't even know who he is. And I remember him talking, and his son was looking like he could be a national contender in the Philippines, in Manila, for the tennis, as a tennis player, like a national champion. He had the goods. And so Steve hires a professional coach to coach him. I mean, like a elite coach. And for the first few weeks, they're standing out there, and Steve's there. He's excited. He's paying a lot of money. His son's going to be trained to be a champion. I mean, this could be his big moment. And that coach takes a basket of balls out there, drops it on the ground, ground stroke. A month passes. Guess what? Ground stroke. Hundreds of balls, thousands. Ground stroke. All right, now you're going to do backhands. Here we go. Now backhand. All right, here we go. Backhand. So Steve finally pulls this coach aside. He says, look, I'm paying you a lot of money. I know you've produced champions. What are you doing? And he said, sobs. He said, what's that? Same old boring strokes. He said, that's what makes champions, and that's what wins championships. This walk with Jesus sometimes looks like sobs. Sometimes it's not exciting. Sometimes we're out of tune or technology flips out. You don't know how many Band-Aids, pieces of baling wire, and duct tape it takes to keep all this running. It's crazy. Just this morning, our whole system went down right before we started. I mean, we're just like, oh, it's going to be a good day. Listen, same old boring strokes. That's what produces life. It's what produces champions. And here's what it does. It produces good soil. Good soil that can receive the word, and it's deep. Its roots go down deep. That's what God's looking for. As we land, are you good soil? And trials reveal what's beneath the surface. It's like we say, if the wind blows, that's okay. We may be bent, but we will not be broken. Why? Because our roots are deep and our foundations are strong. Here it is, last thing. Depth, not hype, determines durability. Family, we need to be people of depth. Not just people that are high on emotion, and I am not anti-emotion, just as I said, but we need to be people of depth. Guess who gets the call when somebody's world falls apart? It's not the hype people. It's going to be the people of depth, the people of character, the people who walk in integrity. It's not going to be the ones who are flashy, the ones who are always getting the microphone or the lights or the screen or all that stuff. That's not who you call. You call the one who's stable. You call the one who's rooted. You call the one who walks with Jesus, like with the same old boring strokes, but they're there. Stable makes us able. So ask this question. This is how we end. Am I growing deep roots, are just living off emotions and moments? Again, I'm not opposed to emotions. I love moments. I love mountaintop moments, but I've been around the block long enough and enough times to know this. I can't live there. We went to a Brandon Lake concert. It wasn't a concert. It was a revival service. Absolutely amazing. But I can't do that every day. I have to return to the same old boring strokes. And that is not to minimize the joy that's found in sobs. Someone say sobs. It's not to minimize that. It's actually where character is birthed. It's where joy is born. And it's where the ability to be resilient and stable and lasting is made, is in the same old boring strokes. Don't disdain doing the right thing every day for a long period of time. Don't disdain a long obedience in the right direction, because you'll be the person that gets the call. Amen? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And while you're doing that, I'm going to ask Pastor Brian to come up and close the service. As you're sitting there and he's making his way up, I love you guys so much. It is a privilege to do what we do.
I'm going to go ahead and invite our altar prayer team. If you are on that team, would you go ahead and come up front and get ready? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Can I just invite you to take a moment with the Holy Spirit here, right with us in the room, and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to recognize about my own heart and my own soil today? Are you the one that's distracted? Or maybe you're the one who's cynical. Maybe you've been running everything off of feelings and emotions rather than the same old boring strokes. Whatever it is, let's turn to Him today. Let's repent and receive what He's speaking to us and ask Him to make us good soil this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, would You heal the rocky and hardened places in our hearts? Lord, You promised in Your word to remove from us a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, one that can feel, one that can receive, one that can cultivate and allow to grow that which You're trying to plant in us. God, would You give us those hearts this morning? God, we give to You our old hearts and ask that You would give us a new heart. Lord, You soften those hard places, God. God, where we've been shallow, God, would You make us deep this morning? And Lord, I pray that You would begin a good work that runs deep roots and produces great fruit in our lives as we walk with You today, Lord. We come humbly before You, believing that this is what You want to do in each of us. And Lord, we receive Your work inside by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Can you praise Him one more time this morning? Hey, last thing. You see these beautiful people up front? They would love, love, love to partner with you in prayer about anything. I mean anything. I mean, whether you stubbed your toe or you just got a big bonus and you want somebody to celebrate it with, or something is breaking down in your life, it does not matter. Prayer is powerful and effective. We want to pray with you, so don't miss the opportunity to have somebody partner with you in prayer about anything. Otherwise, we love you guys. We'll see you next week. You're dismissed.